series called The Perfect Man. I didn't know what else to call it. I didn't want to call it Brian Small. All right, Perfect Man, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And the scripture says, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. There you see it? That's what God tells us he's taking us to, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. So Christ is the fully mature Adam. The first Adam, the last Adam. In the first Adam, all did what? They died. In the second Adam, what happens? All live. God is taking all of humanity to the perfect man. He's creating us into the image of the only begotten. That's God's plan. And because of that, like children, we no longer get tossed to and fro with fear, with ego issues, bitterness, unforgiveness, et cetera, et cetera. Carried around by every wind of doctrine, things that people tell us, trickery of men, cunningness, craftiness of deceitful plotting. All right, so that word perfect, just to review. If you have not heard the first two messages, I encourage you to go online and listen to those because these are kind of progressive. A lot of times the series, they're you can listen to one message and you don't need the other ones to kind of get it. But these build on each other. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, God says, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. How you doing on that? See, because we think perfect perfection without need of anything, but that's not the word. The word means perfect, fully ripe, meaning maturing. So I asked a couple weeks ago, I think it was Annette, I said, what's it like being married to the perfect man? The man. And I said, is he perfect? Somebody else said their husband was perfect. So is your spouse perfect? No, they're not perfect. But if I ask you, are they in process? Yes, they are. They're in process. And what's the process? The process is God is taking your spouse, your children, your loved ones, and he is maturing them in Christ. Until all of us, all of humanity, come together into this fully mature, fully ripe. There will be a day when we will beat our swords into plowshares. And there will be no more war. God will bring us to a place where we understand that we don't have to beat people up to get our way. The nations don't have to drop bombs on each other for us to get along. There will come a day. I long for that day. I long for the day when the lion will lay down with the lamb. But that's where we're headed. Thank God. So perfect means fully ripe. God is bringing humanity into maturity, all of humanity. And it's a process. Maturity's a process, right? So you're in process. And then we talked about that process happens in community. Why does it happen through community? Because when you're by yourself, you get your way. When you're by yourself, your opinions are the greatest genius that ever lived. You sit there and you go, I am so smart. And then you look at your wife and she says, what? You're wearing that? Right? And then you look at other people and they, well, I have an idea. Have you considered this? And all of a sudden your idea isn't that great. And then the process starts and you just have to start thinking, maybe I'm not all that in a bag of chips. And you start to grow up and you have to play nice in the nursery. You don't punch someone in the face because they took your ball. Right? And we grow up and we learn to hide those things and make we the sophisticated. But all of mankind is in process with community. If you take the whole Bible, Jesus said, and you sum it up into two things, what is it? Love God and love people. Piece of cake. It's easy to love me because I'm perfect. No, it's hard to love me because I'm imperfect. And in community, that happens. The Trinity is the perfect union. They are one. And Jesus said, let them be one as we are one. And that's where we're headed. Today, we look at renewing the mind because if there is a process, there's a means to that end, right? And how does God do that? One of the ways is through the renewing of our mind. That's what we're going to look at today. The renewing of our mind. Our minds need renewed. Why do our minds need renewed? Some of you are wearing glasses right now. Why do you need glasses? Because if you take them off, you can't see properly. So your glasses help you see clearly. God, when he helps us renew our mind, he's taking our inner man and he's putting glasses on them so that we can see clearly. First scripture we're going to look at, talking about the mind, Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? Jesus said in this scripture, whatever, it's not what goes into the mouth. They were worried about, if I eat this, I'm defiled. If I watch this and it goes into my eye gate, I'm defiled. If I listen to this song, I'm going to get defiled because it goes in my ear gates. No, Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. What comes out? So it's the heart that is the issue. It's how we perceive. Next scripture is Psalm 19:14. David said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Right? So again, this issue of the heart. Right? The mind needs renewed so that the heart can be transformed. So think about the first assault on mankind. God creates man and he puts what we... The poem he tells us, the story he tells us is there's two trees. Don't eat from this tree, because if you eat from this tree, you'll die. So what is the first assault on man from the snake? It's a thought. Has God said? He puts doubt. It's a thought. It's an assault on the character of God. It's an accusation. It's a thought. Okay? So all of these thoughts that we have in our minds, they create the glasses which we see through. That's why you have perceptions. That's how you process things. And if your perception's wrong, if your eyesight's wrong, Jesus said if you have darkness in your eye, it causes darkness in the whole house. Because your eye gate is messed up. He says, so I want to renew your mind. I want to help you think properly. All of us need this. Because we perceive so weird. Philippians 2 says we have to put on the mind of Christ. It says this, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? And then he tells us things about the mind of Christ. The word repentance is in the Greek metanoia. Literally means a change of mind, not a change of action. That might bother you, but it's true. Because God wants us to change our thoughts, which change our inner man, because if we can get the identity and the image of God, what follows is our actions. You're aligning yourself with reality. Who is reality? God. And so I want to live in his reality, not my own reality. My own reality is the way I see things. If I want to see, I don't want to live according to your reality of how you see things. I want reality himself to reveal truth because then I will see correctly. So repentance is a change of mind. So again, we're in the renewing of the mind. Colossians 1:27-29. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Don't have time to go into that. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. I just want to draw attention here. We preach, we warn, and we teach everyone in what? All. So it's possible then to warn, preach, and teach without wisdom. There's a bunch of people who tell truth or facts, I should say, but it's not wisdom. There's a difference. I can quote scripture to you all day and I can bend it to my false perceptions. People use the Bible to manipulate other people. And so I can use scripture without wisdom. So what does Paul say? Paul says, I preach, I warn, I teach every man in all wisdom that we may present. How many men? Every man perfect. Every man fully mature in Christ Jesus. All right. And to this end he labors and strives according to his working with which he works in me mightily. So what is Jesus doing through Paul? He's bringing every man into maturity and the process of being fully ripe. We're part of that process right now. Okay. So renewing the mind. Here's another scripture. This is Romans chapter 12 verses 2. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. So here it is again. Paul said it to the church in Colossae. He's saying it to the Roman church. Your mind needs renewed. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, there you go, spiritual warfare people, strongholds. You got to pull down these strongholds. Is it? Let's read the next verse. Casting down imaginations, I have it underlined and bolded, high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, highlighted and bolded, of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, highlighted and bolded, to the obedience of Christ. Let's take them backwards. Where are your thoughts? Where is knowledge? Where are imaginations? And then, contextually, where would the strongholds be? Right, they're not out there. It's not a power and a principality. It's right here. The thoughts, the knowledge, the imaginations, the strongholds are all in our heads. The way we perceive the world. All right, there's a picture. What do you see? Don't say it. What do you see? What do you perceive? What do your eyes see? How many see a woman? Raise your hand if you see a woman. All right, raise your hand if she looks like she's in her 20s or 30s. Raise your hand if she looks like she's in her 50s or 60s. Okay, what's wrong with you people? Okay, some of you are now furrowing your brow. This is a piece of art called, I love it, you ready for the name? My wife and my mother-in-law. Okay? So if you can't see the young woman, I have a pointer, but it doesn't work on the TV, the reflection of the TV. Yeah, she's facing away. Her hair, the lock of her hair goes like this at the top there. You see an eyelashes, a little bit of her nose and her jawline and her hair, and she's wearing a hat. Do you see that? Okay. Now, if you take her jawline, that is now a nose, and then her eyelash is now her far eye, and there's another eye right here, and there's a cigarette in a mouth and a chin way down at the bottom. Do you see it now? All right. So why didn't you see that before? Or why did you see the old woman and not the young woman? Because you perceived immediately what you thought you saw, but it changed. Because there's more to the picture than meets the eye. This is what it means to renew your mind. God knows you see things because of your life experiences, your trauma, your hurts, your abandonment, your rejection, the things that you are passionate about, whatever. They all form your perception and the way you see things. And so renewing the mind is being able to see things differently. Here's another one. How many legs does that elephant have? If you look at it without looking at it, you see four legs. You know what I mean? Like if you just glance at it, you see four legs. But if you study it, your brain's going to start to fry. And that's kind of how God is. You're like, oh, I know God. I know God very well. Well, you might be just looking at him at a quick glance, because if you start to study him, he may have more to him than you originally thought. I came across a question the other day. I loved it. I made a note of it. The title of my note is Great Question. What do you believe about God today that you didn't believe about God in the past? What do you believe about God today that you didn't believe about God in the past? And I would suggest, if you're not wrestling with something, that you're seeing God the same way that you've seen him all your life, you're maybe not getting your mind renewed. I won't leave this one up long. This one actually bothers me. Because if you stare at it, it moves. Like all of a sudden, the cube just changes on you as your mind begins to perceive the different colors and the way that it's three dimensions, and just bothers me. Let's get that off there. Woof. Look at that lady. Look at this monster. She's obviously a Nephilim. This woman is a descendant of the Nephilim in Genesis 6. She's taller than the Eiffel Tower. No, what's wrong? It's a perception. It's an illusion. She is not touching the top of the Eiffel Tower. Looks like she's approximately 1,000 feet away from the Eiffel Tower. But because of our angle and we're at, it appears this woman is very large. I need my mind renewed. Did you ever hear the saying, perception is reality? It might not be to you, but it is to the person who perceives it that way. But perception is reality. Perception, perspective, right? Here's another one. Look at that fire-breathing dog. All because of the angle we're at. This next one, this poor girl does not even have a body. No, that's a mirror. And the mirror is showing the grass, but it's lined up perfectly with the border of the grass behind her, so it appears she doesn't have a body. Do we need our minds renewed? Can I go to the scriptures and just think that I am able to perceive and have a proper perspective all on my own? Or do I need help from my community to help see? I like how someone said, theology is a church project. This guy over here on the right, the one in the bathing suit, is the artist. What he does is he takes chalk, and he does chalk art on sidewalks in cities. And he takes a two-dimensional sidewalk, and with color and shadow and perspective, he makes things look like they're different. So does it look like he's stepping down into that pool? That's a flat cement walkway. Does it look like that woman is in the pool? Does it look like her back is on some type of a ledge? Does it look like her leg is coming up out of the pool? All right, let me just change how you're looking at it. That's the real image. Okay? That's why you need to consider how you process Facebook and Instagram and all those other social medias. As everyone makes their life look like this, but in reality, it's not that great. But they make it look like that. I think I have one more. Yeah, one more. So look at this little boy. Same thing, chalk art. So you see the shadow? Look at how he made the reason that looks that way. He takes a two-dimensional object and he makes it look three dimensions is because of the shadow. It looks like the butterfly is above the ground because of this. Okay? But it's perspective. Look at the people all the way in the back. How many? I would say these cement blocks are what? 4 feet long? So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 blocks from that boy to that back row of people. 7 times 4, 28 feet. That butterfly is 28 feet long. Perspective. We need to process things a little better. So perspective and perception all come from the mind's eye. We were just fooled. We were just given an illusion. If you've ever gone to or watched a magician, or they call them an illusionist, what they do is they use sleight of hand. They use what one thing appears, gets you distracted so that they can do something else. Humility is recognizing that I look through my mind's eye at the world and I need God to help me see correctly. Jesus said, a healthy person doesn't need a physician. And if you feel like you don't need your mind renewed, Jesus says, I can't help you. But if you recognize our propensity to illusion and delusion and perspective that is off, he can help us. And we say, Lord, help us renew our minds and to see with the eyes of our heart correctly. All right? So, the renewing of the mind. But the renewing of the mind is not just a means to itself. The renewing of the mind is for the purpose of transformation. You just don't stop with the renewing of the mind. If all I want to do is get new data, then all I'm going to do is change old thoughts for new thoughts. All I'm going to do is change my glasses for new glasses. But that is just the tutor that takes us to transformation. Okay? Paul said it this way. This is Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. Listen to Paul's prayer in the context of what we're learning. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in prayer. Then he tells us what he prays. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. That's taking knowledge and rightly arranging it. And the revelation of the knowledge of him. A revelation is an unveiling. The word apocalypse, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, just means unveiling. Think of a bunch of veils that you can see through. Right? Like when a woman gets married, right? She's got the veil. And you can kind of see through it, but you can't see through it. Now think of a bunch of veils. If I had 30 of them, it would be very difficult to see through. A revelation, Paul's praying, is that those veils would start to come down. So think of a revelation that way, as a veil coming off of something. And then when you get it, you go, wow, I didn't see that before. And we call that a revelation. I got a revelation. I got an epiphany. I see something I didn't see before. Right? You did that by beholding. You saw, like the seraphim, you saw God in a new way and you cried holy, you began to worship. And so he prays for the revelation of the knowledge of him, and then listen to this. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Your spirit man, your inner man, enlightened. That's what happens when you behold. Transformation. The verse is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all with unveiled face, so we can see clearly, behold, what are we beholding? What are we gazing upon? In a mirror, the glory of the Lord. What is glory? Glory is who God is. And then what happens when we behold? Progressively being transformed into that image. That's what God is teaching us, right? We get our mind renewed to at least look up and say, I didn't know that. Wow. And as we behold and we gaze on God, we're changed into that image. You don't say, I'm going to love more. You don't say, I'm going to read my Bible more. You don't say, I'm going to give more to the poor. The only thing that transforms you is gazing and beholding. Let me say it this way. This is how transformation works. They say, I'm not a musician. They say that if we had up here on a stand, a guitar stand, 10 guitars, and if Ray took his guitar and he just took that G string and he just started to hit that G. Those of you who are musicians, they say that what happens is all the other G strings, I should have used a different. Let's go with the D string, shall we? Or the C. No, let's go with the A. Let's go with the A. E. E sounds like G. Let's go with A. All the other A strings, do you know what they'd start to do? Nobody's touching them. Do you know what they start to do? They start to go like this. And they start to move. And the reason they start to move is, the word is resonate. They are recognizing the vibration that they are attuned to, and it actually affects them to where they start to line up with what they are beholding or what they're hearing. Okay? And so no one is touching the other guitars. The other guitars aren't going, I'm going to play just like God. But what they, because they are made in the image of the other guitars, and they are tuned to that frequency, they all start to move, just that string. That's what it means to be transformed. When you behold your maker, who made you in his image, and he reveals to you a part of himself that you didn't know before, and you gaze upon it, you then begin to vibrate at that frequency, and you're changed into that image. Another example of that. I didn't know this one. They say that if you have a bunch of grandfather clocks in a room and you start them all at different times and the pendulums start to swing, you know what happens to all those pendulums after time? They sink. All the pendulums start to sink and move at the exact same pace. The clockmaker didn't go in and try and start them together. That no effort at all. It is the frequency and the vibration and the sound of the other clocks that are made in the image of the other clocks that start to bring everything together. Did you ever pray, God, I want to be more like you? And so you say, I'm going to read more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to hang out with more people that bother me. Well, Paul says, the things that used to be to my profit, talk about a mind renewing, the things that were to my profit, I now consider dung. A nice way of saying crap. God changed his perception so much that the things he used to think were a benefit and an asset are now a debt. And he lists them all. And they're all religious activities. And he says, all this compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. What are you saying, Paul? And what is the word know? No, it's a very intimate word. It's a beholding word. Because Adam knew Eve, and she conceived. Mary said, when the angel said to her, you're going to conceive a son, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High. She said, how can this thing be? I've never known a man. No, very intimate. So when, how do I get in sync with God's pendulum? How do I vibrate with God's A string? By knowing him, by beholding him, by just being in relationship with him. And every once in a while, these moments happen because the Spirit of God lives in me that I get a piece of the veil taken off. And in that moment, my spirit man sees what he could never see before. And I'm changed. And now I walk in that identity of the one who made me. I'm imaged. I'm an image bearer, and I'm metamorphosized because I behold him. Transformation is the means that God is taking us to the perfect man. It's going to happen. God said, my knowledge will cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. God said, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess me as Lord. He said, if I be lifted up, which he was, I will draw all men to myself. You're a part. You are a part of the process of the perfect man being made. Have peace. Rest in the Spirit. Let the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit begin to come out of you as you're connected to the vine, as you know Christ. We will be made into a perfect man. Do our minds need renewed? What's something you believe about God today that you didn't believe about God in the past? You're in process. And this is our prayer, Father. Lord, I'm putting up the white flag. I'm getting in the water. I want my pendulum to swing. I want my A chord to vibrate. I want to just get in the water of your love and your presence, and I just want to float. And I don't want to float with the mindsets of the world. I want to float in your reality. And I want to be taken with the current of your presence and your agenda for the world and the purpose for me, my family, my community, and the world. And I want to be open to this. So I give you the right to make me your masterpiece. Scripture says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That is, you are his masterpiece. Father, I thank you for every heart that is just lifted up toward you, that cries out with Paul, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you, the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, to be made conformable to your death. I want to know you. I thank you that there isn't a prayer on earth that's more beautiful to your ears than that. That your child, your image bearer is saying, thy will be done in me, not my will be done. So thank you for answering this beautiful cry and yielding and surrendering of hearts. And thank you that you who started this good work in us will also bring it to pass. Thank you for the incredible treasure hunt and scavenger hunt we're on to find your heart, to find your love, and to know you, the one true God in Christ whom you've sent. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.